straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
This is On Second Thought, episode 187, brought to you by Hook'em.com, our good friends at Bud Light. My name is Cedric Golden, and big news in the Big 12 today, joined as usual by the Duck, Kirk Bowles. And man, great guest today, friend of the podcast, longtime Oklahoman columnist Barry Trammell is on the line. What's up, Bear?
How's things in Austin? Hot down there?
They're rocking and it's hot. No breeze.
Oh, man.
My daughter's in Waco. Yes, my daughter's in Waco yesterday, and she talked about how hot it was.
Ooh, it's brutal.
Yeah, it's just it's don't go outside hot, Barry. That's what kind of hot it is. I mean, I heard whimpering coming out from my front yard yesterday, and I was like, I don't even have a dog. And I looked out, and it was my car. I mean, my car is suffering. I mean, that aluminum and sunlight is not good, all that steel. So, but, man, let's get down to business, guys. We were on a conference call with Bob Bowlesby as of this recording Wednesday morning, and he hit a myriad of subjects. The Big 12 is forging on with football season, and there was a split vote, and I was talking to Kirk before you got on, Barry, and I think the split vote was 8 against and Texas and OU 4, and that's why we're having football season. What do you think about that?
Well, the Big 12 vote is an electoral college system. There's not any question about that. Yeah, this is not democratic rule. This is a republic. So, you know, I've heard the same thing as split, but you know, when people talk to me, I've actually heard very little from Big 12 people who don't want to try to play or don't want to at least give it a shot or forge ahead. You know, somebody asked me about Iowa State. You know, they're the most Big 10-like school. They're geographically in the footprint. They're, you know, in the AAU, so they're one of the more prestigious institutions in the conference. And yet, Iowa State, in my mind, seems to have been the most aggressive over the summer in terms of saying, well, we're going to have 50% of Jack Trice Stadium is going to be open for football and things like that. So my impression is even Iowa State was interested in playing. So, you know, maybe there are people that were a little hesitant, but I don't happen to know who they are.
Well, didn't Bob mention the Kansas president was also a medical doctor, and maybe, you know, maybe they lean toward not playing as a rule.
Well, I mean, I think Kansas can. Here's how Kansas vote. Kansas vote. You let us start basketball season on time, and you can vote football any way you want us to. Just tell us what to do, and we'll say it if you'll start basketball on time.
It's just that rare Power Five school where basketball is much more of a big dog than football. And they know why people talk about Kansas Jayhawks. It dang sure ain't Mangino and all of that. It's been a minute since Gale Sayers played. But one thing he said to me that was pretty interesting, and hey, Barrett, could you mute your microphone while we're talking? Because I'm getting a lot of feedback. There you go. One thing that Bowlesby said is that, you know, he talked about people being delusional. You know,
if they predicted the virus. If they think they can predict it, they can't.
And so it's definitely a crapshoot as to what's going to happen. And Kirk, I'll let you weigh in first, and then Barry. What's your confidence level of football starting in a month? Because that's a long time to have zero positive tests, and these guys are practicing.
Well, from my standpoint, I have a lot more confidence in them starting the season than maybe finishing it and going through a full season without disruptions. And I'm okay with them at this juncture. I think I didn't completely understand the sense of urgency by the Big Ten and Pac-12 when maybe it's not going to be safe, but maybe you can make that decision between now and September 1st. So, Barry, where do you stand on that?
I sort of think it's 50-50 that we'll start on September 12th.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. Here's the reason. If you're a college president or a university administrator, football's the least of your problems.
Sure.
You're about to have 15 to 40,000 students coming back on your campus. And guess what? They're not all that interested in social distancing.
I got a friend who I talked to today. His daughter attends Oral Roberts University. And he says that she reports there's no social distancing going on at ORU when all the students are coming back. If they're partying at Oral Roberts University, what are they going to be doing at Austin and Lubbock and Norman and Manhattan? To me, I think there's a chance football could be shut down by not by anything football does, but by outbreaks on campuses as 15 to 40,000 students come back to each of these campuses.
Mm-hmm. I think that's realistic.
I think it has the potential to be just a real nightmare, because by and large in this country, the kids have figured out that they're not going to die from this, and that they might be sick for a couple of weeks, and they're 18 to 22 year old kids doing 18 to 22 year old stuff on college campuses. And, for us, I can have a reasonable expectation of football players trying to follow the guidelines that are going to be presented to them by their coaches. But to expect their classmates to do it, and if they're like you said, if that's going on at ORU, oh my God, could you imagine Madison, Wisconsin, or Austin, Texas? I'm very afraid. We're going to hit these games as they're played, and we're going to be in the press box, and then we're going to get the hell out of there. There's not going to be any commiserating, because there's going to be a lot of germs floating around, because these college kids are college kids.
Yeah, and there are probably not going to be any fans. As Bob Bowlesby said today, how hard is it to disinfect a locker room, much less a stadium? You know, how do you disinfect a stadium? So I won't be shocked if there are no fans in any of the stadiums. Do you expect any fans, Barry?
I do expect some fans. I think the pressure is going to be too hard, too much on some of these schools, maybe right. all of them. I don't think it's going to be a ton.
Right.
The most I can see is 25%. You know, I've run the numbers. I've right. actually figured it out. If you sort of give each ticket holder four tickets,
mm-hmm.
and you practice social distancing, you're about 16% of capacity if you want to practice social distancing. So in Norman, that's, you know, 14,000. In Austin, it's 16,000 or 15,000, less at other places. But I do think they'll try to get some in. I know that OU has put out the all call or the for suite workers on game days. So I think they're going to have some suites open. Or they plan to, at least, or they're
that might make it. More sense.
If I mean, why could. Not? They yeah. should. It fill, could. They should fill up the suites. I mean,
yeah, it could. So I mean, I think if you're going to play, you got to try to. You know, the good news is it's outside.
Right.
Outside.
Allegedly. How's that working for baseball, you know?
Well, yeah, though those guys, I don't know if they're giving it to each other on slides at second base. I think it's around the craps table is where they're getting a lot of that. But anyway, who knows? I do think they're going to try. I think they'll try to get the fans in the same way that they're going to try to get the games in.
What do y'all think about the medical protocol that Bob Bowlesby mentioned? He said they would – be testing these players on Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. You know, Friday makes sense, but can you get that rapid turnaround that quickly if you're testing an entire team?
I think you can if you have your own doctors on site, and they will, and they have the money and the wherewithal to get those tests done pretty fast. And You start Friday morning, and you can get 84 guys in pretty quickly. The test itself doesn't take long at all. Mm-hmm. My cousin took it, and he said it's a 5-minute.
Oh yeah, my wife
procedure.
Took it. Yeah.
So I think that's entirely possible. I like the idea of 3 tests a week. But before Barry answers, okay, it's the weekend of Texas OU and Sammy Ellinger tests positive for the corona, but Sammy feels great. Sammy's asymptomatic. Are they going to tell us that Sammy Ellinger tested positive late Friday night for a 2:30 kickoff on Saturday? Or is Sammy going to play? And will we ever know? That's the ethical dilemma. Yeah, I'm not saying that football coaches are bad people, but I am saying that football coaches are football coaches. And so there's a lot of honor system involved here. And we're going to have to take a lot of people at their word. And when left up to football coaches who are bloodthirsty for winning games, I worry about that area. I'm not saying everybody's a cheater or anything, but we all know what's at stake here.
Well, the good news is, the Big 12 defenses tend to practice social distancing even while they're playing on the field. So I think the threat is less than what it could be in other conferences. But you raise a great point. It's a great point, Cedric, and nobody knows the answer. I mean, it's a little bit the same thing when the NFL's going through that with having to rely on a little bit of the humanitarianism side of it. I hope also that you're right about the testing, and if these schools have their own tests and their own, from what I've read in recent weeks, we've got enough tests now in America. What we don't have is quick test results.
Mm-hmm.
Getting results back from tests sometimes takes 4 to 10 days. And what's the point of testing if you do that? If you can get immediate results, then I think testing is effective. And I hope the scenario you painted, by which schools have the resources to conduct their own tests and test results, I hope that is the case, because
it has to be.
It comes across as immoral if we're using a bunch of test result resources to play football games. If those resources would not exist without the football games, well then, you have to say, okay. But to me, that's one of the ethical questions about this whole play sports again. If our school teachers can't get quick testing, why are our linebackers and fullbacks?
Yeah,
it's the same reason that school teachers are making $45,000 a year.
They think they're expendable.
They're not thought of as essential, even though they are well beyond essential. They don't move the needle, even though they're a very necessary part of our lives.
A lot more parents would consider them essential in August than they
absolutely
probably did in March. Mm-hmm. And I agree with both of you guys. There's going to be gamesmanship, and it comes down to ethics and moral. And it's not just maybe testing and results. So what if your quarterback comes to you on Saturday morning and, coach, I got headaches, my sense of taste and smell is gone, and he just goes down the symptoms. Some coaches are going to say, you're sitting and go home. I'm not sure every coach would do that. So –
because coaches are going to be like, you may have the flu, you may have the allergies, you may have a cold, you may have the Rona, but I wouldn't want to be in that position to where I have to decide if a kid's taking the test or not. Hopefully these 3 tests a week that Bowlesby mentioned, Doug, are mandatory for everybody. That's got to be the only way you can go about it. I'm going to ask you guys this. What's your confidence level in the full schedule being played? Barry?
I'm reasonably certain that we'll finish out the schedule. The conference schedule, I don't know about the non-conference games, but if we can get started and get past this push of students coming back onto campus, I'm reasonably certain – not certain. I'm reasonably optimistic we can finish out the season, because – The Big 12 has built in a week or two of extra week. So I'm optimistic that if we get started, we can finish.
I hope you're right, Barry. I do know we understand there were reports Oklahoma sent their players home. I asked Bob Boldly about that Sunday, and he told me that was because they weren't going to play on 0 week. And so are the players in Norman, or are the players sent home, or is it half and half?
What they did is they quit practicing.
Okay.
Is what they did. I don't know the number, but I believe that the vast majority stuck around. They're starting back up either Friday or Saturday. Mm-hmm. So really they gave them a week off. They were going to start on August 29th. That's where they'd moved the opener to.
Right.
And that's why they were allowed to start practicing earlier. I think Lincoln thought two things. One, I think he thought, you know, there's no reason to wear them out. We're going to have plenty of practice, because he knew then September 12th was going to be the date. And I also think he thought there was a decent chance of Tuesday, yesterday, coming through and the whole thing shutting down. Turns out that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But I think most of the guys stuck around. I think they were encouraged to, because within the football environment, the people who say the players are safest in the football environment, they're absolutely true. That's absolutely true. No question about that. One of them did get arrested for DUI last night in the middle of the night, so we know he's still around.
He's good. He's
so,
good. He's good.
Okay. Yeah, he's fine.
At least he didn't test positive.
So, that's right. So I think most of them stuck around. I think they just sort of gave him a week off because they've been going at it like they were playing August 29th.
I'd like to ask both of you, spring football has been a big topic in the last few weeks, and the Big Ten and the Pac-12 obviously are shooting for a spring football season, and Larry Scott told me yesterday hoping to start it in January. Bob Boldly didn't sound too enamored with the idea of spring football, and I think part of the reason is trying to play two football seasons in the same calendar year. Barry, where do you stand on spring football?
Well, I think it's a last resort, but sometimes last resorts are necessary. I think it's doable.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to make some allowances. I think you would have to cut next summer pretty thin. I mean, I don't think you can't finish the year, early May or mid-May, and then say everybody back on June 1st for off-season workouts. Right. I think you'd try to start the season later, maybe mid-September rather than 1st of September. I don't think you could have the strenuous practices. But the truth is practice intensity or hitting in practice, that's sort of been going down anyway across the country over the last decade or two.
Absolutely.
So I think it's doable. It's clearly not preferable,
right,
but it's doable. And yeah, most NFL prospects are going to opt out.
Right.
But for crying out loud, that's not the majority of college football players. You can have a football. You can have a football season. If your top 10 players drop out, you can still play. Mm-hmm. And the financial demands, and frankly, just the players themselves, I think, would want to do it. I don't think you'd see a lot of players say, I can't, mm-hmm, can't play spring and fall. If I was I haven't played football since 1974, seventh grade. But if you ask me, the games are pretty fun. It's practice that's a drag. You tell a football player, hey, in the spring, we're going to do some practice and play some games. They're going to say, fantastic. So I think we could do it. It's not preferable, but it's doable.
I agree. No one wants to go to Manhattan, Kansas in March or February, late February, where it's just brutal, or Ames. No one wants that noise, or Morgantown. So I think the travel would not be preferable for these teams from the South. But I do agree with Barry that you got to have a backup plan. You have to have a contingency plan if something's going to pop off. That's something that's out of your control. So I'm really intrigued about the prospect of them playing in the fall, and will it happen, and will it work, and will the Big 12 fall flat on its face? I don't know, but the question that I wanted to ask Bob Bosley, we didn't get a chance to, but I'll ask you guys, what does this do moving forward for the Power Five conferences? They've usually been pretty uniform on decision making, and all of a sudden there's been a big split. Is the Power Five forever fractured? You go first, Kirk.
I don't know if it's forever fractured. I think they're, dents in the armor, if you will, because they have not shown a uniform look, and it looks very dysfunctional. I wonder a little bit about transfers, if maybe some players, in those two leagues that aren't playing might be looking, well, maybe I'll go play somewhere else where maybe it's warmer and maybe they're more committed to football, maybe. I don't know. Obviously, Nebraska's clearly not happy, and I don't think they've been happy in the Big Ten ever since they left the Big 12. So
do they still have football in Nebraska?
Oh, well, some would ask that question. So, but I don't know. I would hesitate to say it was fractured. So, Barry, what do you think?
Yeah, I tend to think they were never as unified as we were led to believe. You know, when we started all this mess back in April or late March or early April, Bosby had a teleconference and told us his hope was that they would all work together.
Yeah.
And what we came to find out, that means they talk all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's
sort
of like
that today. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of like, the president of Germany and England and the prime minister of Canada and Trump talk a lot too, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're aligned in any way. So
you forgot Putin.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So I don't think they were ever on the same page. The truth is, this is what they wanted. They did not want NCAA interference. People say, why doesn't the NCAA show some leadership?
They don't have any.
They've given this. This is what the Power Five wanted. They wanted autonomy.
Exactly.
They wanted to rule themselves, and the way they choose to rule themselves is via the conferences. The conferences run the playoff. They run the bowls. They run the TV contracts. They're in charge, and they don't want, even amongst themselves, they don't want a leader. They don't want a commissioner. They I liken it to the old European city-states of the Holy Roman Empire. They don't want a central government. Mm-hmm. They don't want an Italy or a France or a Germany. Mm-hmm. They want their little city to be in charge, and they are. So
their version of states' rights.
That's exactly right. Articles of Confederation. So they don't want a constitution.
Yeah,
so it's a case, if there's a mess caused by lack of leadership, it's not the NCAA's fault. It's the conference's fault.
I agree. Cedric, what do you think?
I think it's going to be moving forward. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in future meetings between the Power Five guys, because we all knew that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 were joined at the hip. They just are. They're old. That's old school Rose Bowl in January love. And when the Big Ten made its announcement, you knew the Pac-12 was going to follow suit. There's a division now. And like Barry said, maybe they haven't always agreed on stuff. But you mentioned the teleconference earlier this year. That same one of those early teleconferences, Bowlesby let it out that he was on the phone on that conference with Kevin Warren and had no idea that the Big Ten was going to announce they were going conference games only.
That's right.
He didn't tell him. So there's a disconnect there, and so. And that was, to me, was one of the first public dominoes to fall, to let me know that not everybody's on the same page here. So I don't know if it got contentious with them, but the difference being now is we know that there's a split, and how they handle it is going to be really interesting moving forward, Doug.
And I wonder if the images and all the trappings that go with that of the Big Ten and Pac-12 would be severely diminished if these other three conferences play and they do it without disruption, they play a full season. It'll be interesting. There will be some ramifications of that. It's hard to identify all of them right now, but there will be some if it goes off without a hitch. Conversely, if there's spikes and outbreaks and that sort of thing, that will have severe repercussions as well.
Well, I mean, the possibility exists for either side of this to come out looking much better than the other. If the ACC, SEC, Big 12 finish their conference seasons, have title games, and stage a 14 playoff,
mm-hmm.
the Big 10 and the Pac-12 is going to be looking sort of silly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be potentially mentioned on the recruiting trail. that's a possibility, at least. On the other hand, let's say the Big 12 starts and the ACC says everybody starts and game gets, bunch of games get canceled on October 3rd, or OU Texas doesn't get played on October 10th. And
Come
November 1st, they end up saying, you know what, this isn't working. We just got to scrap it. You know, the Big 12 leader has a 3-1 record or a 4-0 record. And then all of a sudden, let's say in December, we get us a vaccine. Mm-hmm. And here comes the Pac-12 and the Big 10 stage in a season in March and April. And they have a Rose Bowl and they crown themselves national champion in May. Well, they're going to say, look, you Nimrods down there south, you guys don't know anything. We've been telling you that forever. Just listen to us from now on. And either one of those is possible.
It's
going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out. I will say this, though, guys. I am pleased and proud of the Big 12 status. 10 years ago, Nebraska leaves. Soon, A&M and Missouri leave as well. Looked like the Big 12 is going to fall apart. When it sort of kept itself together, it still was diminished. It was had a terrible reputation. It was clearly the weakest of the five conferences, and it was the butt of jokes.
Mm-hmm.
10 years later, now, I'm not saying it's running the sport. However, the Big 12 clearly has passed the Pac-12 and the ACC in status. And as it stands now, yesterday, I think the Big 12 perhaps held the season in their hands. I asked Bob this. He didn't give me an answer. But, if the Big 12 votes to not play yesterday,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that the SEC and the ACC forge ahead. And
it's hard to two against three.
That is. And the Big 12 says we're going to try to play. And Alabama and Georgia and LSU and Florida and Auburn and Clemson and Florida State, they all in unison took a big sigh of relief and said, Thank you, Big 12.
We've got something here.
The Big 12 status has really risen mm-hmm. in the last half decade. And I credit that to great leadership on the campuses, but also with Bowlesby. So mm-hmm. a plug for the Big 12.
You know what? And I wrote a couple of weeks ago that I'm tired of the Big 12 being the last one to make the decision. You know, and when the SEC made its decision, it directly affected LSU versus Texas. And I hate when the Big 12 has to pick up the pieces, but the Big 12 struck a blow for the little guy, as in 10 teams of the Power Five. They struck a blow. And whether or not it turns out great is up in the air, but I pray for the safety of these kids, coaches, fans, staff, students, what have you. But today was a really good day for the Big 12.
Yeah, I agree. I think they took some major strides, and they're still kind of the punching bag, I think, of Twitter and social media. But I agree with both of you. I really think it has stepped forward. Well, the last question I have for you, Barry, and we so appreciate you being with us, is Is Oklahoma quarterback Spencer Rattler going to win the Heisman Trophy?
He better.
Guys, I don't even know if he's going to win the job. I literally don't. I really don't. Now, he might be the – there's more hype for Spencer Rattler than there was for Kyler Murray in 2018.
But he's got a great name.
He does have a great name.
Yeah.
But, heck, I assume he's going to be really good.
Yeah.
I assume he's going to do well. Lincoln's quarterbacks always do. But at some point, this Heisman, this Heisman Ferris wheel they're on has got to stop. And this seems like maybe the year it'll stop. Although, you know, heck, I don't know. Can you, if you win the Heisman, are they going to delay the Heisman? Because if you win the Heisman and you come from Oklahoma or Texas, you got to quarantine for 14 days when you get to New York. So they might have to set the ceremony back a little bit. Like, give those guys a chance to get out of their hotel room.
They may Zoom it. They may Zoom it.
Yeah, Zoom.
Spencer didn't have to worry about Justin Fields anymore, so that's one down. So
you wonder, well, what if Justin Fields transfers to TCU tomorrow?
There you go. I like it. Gary always needs a quarterback.
Yeah, he does. He really does.
I wonder, I mean, before we close up, do you guys think there are going to be some transfers come out of this? Is it going to be a mass exodus or a trickle or any at all?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't either. Wouldn't they have to be senior graduate transfers to play?
You could make the case for a waiver because they pulled the rug out from under your autumn season. Mm-hmm. But I tend to think they would lose the waiver. And here's the other thing: if you're Justin Fields, now there may be some cornerbacks and receivers that decide to do it. But if Justin Fields, you know, if he's not going to play, which I don't think he's going to play. He's just going to go to Arizona and start working out right now.
Get ready.
He's going to do right now what he was going to do in January.
Yes, get ready.
So, you know, he doesn't want to go down there. He's right now the number two player in the draft. What's he going to do? Raise his stock? No, all he could do is hurt it. You know, if he comes down here and doesn't light up Big 12 defenses, he was going to say, what's wrong with that guy? So
Not a lot of upside for him playing.
I don't think we'll see a lot of those guys, although – I got an email the other day from an OSU fan said, hey, why isn't Mike Gundy right now looking at game tape of every MAC game? Call every MAC roster and pick out the best players and get them to come to Stillwater. So, you know, we're probably not the only people that have thought of this. So, you know, there's probably some talk about it. Whether it happens or not, they've talked about it.
There'll be some pilfering, no question about it. So, but Barry, it's been a little slice of heaven. Can't wait to see you at the Cotton Bowl in October. You are going to have to bring your own corny dogs, probably.
And bring a mask, Barry.
Yeah.
I got a battalion of masks. That's no problem.
I may even get a haircut by then, maybe. I don't know. No promises.
I've had one. I've had one since January, so we'll see if I need another one by October.
I know we're just doing the audio here, but I just love your hair. And it really what it makes me want to do is go and watch the Back to the Future trilogy. You look like Doc.
Well, somebody's got to.
Great, somebody's Scott. Well, Ben, hey, we appreciate it, Barry, and always a pleasure, man. And stay safe, brother. We appreciate you.
All right, see you guys.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye.
On Second Thought.
That will do it for episode 187 of On Second Thought. Got to thank our buddy Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman for joining us. For the Duck Kirk Bowles, I'm Cedric Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Ced and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.